From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled, Five Kings of Sin We All Must Slay, part of this series of studies in the Book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Continual Guidance. The text is Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11, The Lord shall guide thee continually. What aileth thee? Hast thou lost thy way? Art thou entangled in a dark wood? Canst thou not find thy paths? Stand still and see the salvation of God. He knows the way, and He will direct thee in it if thou cry unto Him. Every day brings its own perplexity. How sweet to feel that the guidance of the Lord is continual. If we choose our own way, or consult with flesh and blood, we cast off the Lord's guidance. But if we abstain from self-will, then He will direct every step of our road, every hour of the day, every day of the year, and every year of our life. If we will but be guided, we shall be guided. If we will commit our way unto the Lord, He will direct our course so that we shall not lose ourselves. But note to whom this promise is made. Read the previous verse. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, we must feel for others, and give them not a few dry crusts, but such things as we ourselves would wish to receive. If we show a tender care for our fellow creatures in the hour of their need, then will the Lord attend to our necessities and make Himself our continual guide. Jesus is the leader not of misers, nor of those who oppress the poor, but of the kind and tender-hearted. Such persons are pilgrims who shall never miss their way.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in
if your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Joshua chapter 10, verses 16 through 27, Dr. Cairns is using the names of the cities ruled by the Canaanite kings to identify areas of sin over which the Christian must achieve victory. The first of those five kings is the king of Jerusalem, meaning the city of peace, and a false sense of peace based on a person's own ideas has deluded many into thinking they are right with God. But salvation must be through the merits of Christ alone. Next, the king of Hebron, a name that connotes fellowship or association, a warning against walking and living with the worldly crowd or giving support to apostates. The third king ruled the city of Jarmuth, a name carrying the meaning of loftiness or pride, and pride has kept multitudes out of heaven. It is the enemy of God's people as well. In the king of Lachish, we find the characteristic of invincibility. This implies a battle against hardness of heart or against a cherished sin. And yet there is victory through the blood of Christ. The fifth and last king ruled Eglon, a word that means calf-like. It is always associated with false religion, something that is rampant in the world today. God's people are called upon to guard the purity of the gospel. Now to conclude this message, five kings of sin we all must slay, here is Dr. Cairns.
We are living in a day when the barriers are broken down. We're living in a day when apostasy is rampant, and the call for the church is to come out and be separate, to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to reprove them. The second great king we have to slay is the king of evil association. The third king is Jarmuth. Jarmuth would have the idea of loftiness or heights. The third great king to oppose the gospel is pride. Pride, the king of evil. That's what led our first parents into disobedience. That's what led them to death, isn't it? This loftiness that could place them above the law of God and above the command of God. Sinners perish, we read in Scripture clearly, because of their pride. The psalmist said in Psalm 10 and verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Man, what an eye-opener that is. How that lifts the lid off the human heart. What is it that keeps sinners from Christ? Their pride. Their pride. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, refuses to seek after God. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? When his heart was lifted up, his mind was hardened in pride. God had to have him deposed from his kingly throne. That's the king of pride. What must be done to it? Slay it. How do you slay the sin of pride? The sinner comes humbly confessing his sin and his need. He comes to Christ with all that wickedness. And before the Savior, he confesses this wicked heart does not want Christ. But oh, I need Christ. And confess him and take him, put to death the wickedness of pride. Pride's the enemy of God's people as well. We must slay it. It brings shame, according to Proverbs 11 and 2. It goes before a fall. In Proverbs 16:18. And I want you to get this. It divides the church of Christ. Proverbs 13:10 tells me, only by pride cometh contention. I've seen many a church split. I wish I could say I never have, but I've seen many a church split. I've seen Christian get mad at Christian and divide the body of Christ. I've never seen it happen once where pride didn't get in. Pride causes contention. And worst of all, it turns away the face of the Lord. Turns away the face of God. Pride of grace, pride of face, pride of race, pride of your economic position, pride of anything else. Pride turns away the face of God, for God resisteth the proud. You see the proud man come to pray and God pushes him away. We must slay it. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The fourth king is Lachish. Difficult word to be sure of its etymology, but most of the experts believe that Lachish has the idea of invincible, or something that's hard to capture. I thought of that. The fourth king to oppose the gospel is the hardness of heart, that inveterate devotion to sin. Men love darkness rather than light, said Jesus, because their deeds are evil. What's it talking about here? It's talking about something that is deeply rooted in sin. Talking about something that has the strong habitual force of sin. Something that has the reinforcement of long practice and the love of sin. Now let me tell you, in personal life, let me get this to God's people that will follow on in the idea of personal holiness. In personal life, we are called not to toy with sin, not simply to say, well, I can't deal with sin, I can't overcome this, I can't give it up, it's too strong for me. We are called to assault the most invincible strongholds of sin. We are called to a battle to the death with our most cherished lusts and habits. We are called to put the king of Lachish to death. That, my friend, is the call of God. And of course, with the call, there is the promise. You can kill the king of Lachish, by the way. There is victory. There is victory. Doesn't matter what that king of Lachish may do in your life. There's victory for the man who's alcoholic. There's victory for the drug addict. There's victory for the porn addict. There's victory for the man who's addicted to his own pride. There's victory for the man who's overcome with his own self-righteousness. There is victory in Jesus for the people of God, even over the king of Lachish. We live in a day, unfortunately, when too many Christians have simply laid down their arms and have come to terms with sin. And the king of Lachish lives and thrives. And we let him live. And we let him thrive. Same is true as far as the church is concerned. We let the strongholds of sin live on. When David came up to Jerusalem, what did he do? I want you to get this. He did something that nobody else had done the whole time from Joshua. He said, "There is Zion, the stronghold of Zion. Jerusalem is ours. Has been for centuries. But Zion, the stronghold, still is in the hands of the Jebusites." David said, "This is my capital. I must take Zion." Take it he did. Saul had never taken it. All through the days of the judges, they had never taken it. Samuel even had never laid an assault against it. Right back to the days of Joshua. Even in Joshua's day, Jebus, the Jebusites, were allowed to keep their stronghold. That's always foolish. We are called to go to the stronghold, whether as individuals or as the church. When Paul got saved and was called and went out into the work, what did he do? Did he go to all the soft places? No, no. He went to the hardest places where Christ was not named, where nobody else had plowed the furrow for him. He went to the hard places. He went to the strongholds of sin, and he challenged those centers of sin. We should make the prayer of the 74th Psalm our prayer. Have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. And then finally, the fifth king is Eglon. Eglon means calf life. It's a reminder of the religion of the flesh and of the devil. The calf is always associated with false religion, and false religion is the ultimate great king of sin, opposing the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the crux of the battle against sin and Satan. It is always the battle against false religion. It has invaded the church, and we have to slay it in the church. This is where the battle has to start. I'm going to make a statement that may sound arrogant. It is not meant to be. It certainly is not arrogant. I work as an elder among elders because I'm a Presbyterian. But yet, even as an elder among elders, I am called to this pulpit. It's always been my stand before God. And I thank God my elders have always agreed with me in any church I've been in, and I have never had a moment's contention about it. But this pulpit on earth is my throne. Whoever else wants a man in this pulpit, by the grace of God, there will never be a man in this pulpit that I do not want here. There will never be a theology preached from this pulpit. And I give great latitude to men. I believe in having the widest possible fellowship among men who are given to the fundamentals of the faith. And I've had men come preach here who do not agree with all the points of my theology. But they're men of God, and I stand with them and stand for them because they stand for my Savior. But having said that, there will be no theology preached from this pulpit that I personally am not willing to have preached. I'll tell you why. This pulpit must be guarded that the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is never challenged. Do you think I have labored for 16 years in this congregation to preach the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ, to have somebody come in and deny it all and start preaching the stupidity of psychological so-called principles? Wouldn't I be a rare fool to have given the best years of my life for the preaching of Christ, to have someone come in and throw it all out the window and say what you need is some book of worldly philosophy or psychology dressed up with a couple of gospel texts? No, sir. Paul says if anybody preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. We guard this church from false religion, false gospels. Let me tell you, it infests our own heart. There is a false gospel in every Christian's heart. You look at your own heart and you'll prove that. What is our automatic movement? As soon as, for instance, we have to deal with guilt or failure in our lives, automatically we will go to either the extreme of antinomianism and dismiss it, or we will go to the extreme of legalism and we will try to work off our guilt with some sort of penitential system of works. That's a false gospel. We need to keep the sufficiency of Christ before us. We need to have the centrality of the justifying work of grace within our heart. We need to keep at the very heart of our entire belief system and practice system the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, our acceptance with God by union in Him, and let everything else be done as a reaction to that. That's how to believe and that's how to live. Anything else is missing the point. And yet that's the way we naturally tend. False gospel permeates the world, and we have got to slay it if we're going to see people saved and the gospel progress. Time has gone, so I'll come to a close. These are mighty monarchs. They don't yield easily to sin or to the sword of the Spirit. They don't yield easily. They're set against the progress of God's Joshua. They confront us with serious problems and serious spiritual warfare, but the victory is certain. Every one of these kings was slain. Thank God. Thank God. Our greater Joshua is still able to give us the victory over them all. Death to sin, death to the flesh, dying more and more unto sin, and living more and more unto righteousness. That is the call of this passage for this people.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.